Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain. We're looking about a 4-hour flight time today. We've got clear skies, good visibility. Flight attendants, please prepare for takeoff.
Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
On the Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, and hornfm.com. With the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight.
What's the difference between me and you? You talk a good one, but you don't do what you're supposed to do. I act on what I feel.
Damn right. Let's go. Hour number one on a Tuesday. It's warm outside, kids. Stay cool. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling on his way back from Frisco this afternoon and Big 12 Media Days. We'll get to see him tomorrow at the Tom Herman deal. He and Brad and Rod and all the guys doing great work, Bucky and Aaron. We'll try to mix in all five of those guys today and get their thoughts on Big 12 Media Days.
God, this is good. Hold on. Just keep Brian.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
So what the fuck am I supposed to do? I pop bottles and hot
I don't like that edit.
I know you wouldn't.
Who is this?
Exhibit, right? No, it's Dre, but this right here, the actual lyricist.
It's a Dr. Dre song? I don't
yeah.
know.
I'm just not you get Eminem.
Okay.
Gotcha. Up. There we go. We're okay. Running out.
There we go. All right. Yeah, it's very good. Love that beat. So you got Brian Fitzgerald producing for us today. We appreciate that. I guess Charles Amenihue is coming in today, although it's Big 12 Media Days. Now, he wasn't up there.
He wasn't up there.
So I don't know if he's got workouts to do today or if now that the coaches are getting back from vacation, are they having the guys do certain things?
That's a small plane they were in.
A small plane?
Yeah, they show the private plane that the UT guys took down there, and Malik Jefferson retweets, "Don't sneeze in there or else you're going to get turbulence." For someone who doesn't like to, I mean, I get on a 737 and I got questions and
right.
don't like the weight distribution. Those guys, I'm thinking, did you have to plan this out where they're sitting?
That probably is a concern with those guys. They took some...
Like, if you're not famous and rich, I wouldn't risk that. And unless you've got what Trump had, if you've got a legit big private plane.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder. I don't know. Maybe they've flown so much.
Pilots driving around right now or flying around listening, going, yeah. Trust me, you'll be okay.
It's safe. We're good. Everything's good.
How many of those take off every day?
Texas Big 12 Media Days Part 2. We'll get a lot of thoughts on that today. Also, we got a baseball guest coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Brian Fitzgerald, our producer, set that up. A guy he's had contact with in Denver, but a guy who also works for MILB.com covering some minor league stuff. So...
He's good.
We thought we'd give you a chance to maybe really get baseball nerdy at 4 o'clock. Talk some All-Star game, but this may be a guy that if you want to just throw a, you know, throw a prospect question or two at, he might be the guy.
Oh, he is that guy.
This may be your
I
guy.
I recognized the name, and then I was like, oh, and then I looked him up. I go, Brian, great call.
Yeah. So that's coming up at 4:05. Yeah.
Okay, we can start a lot of places. We got to start with Big 12 Media Days very quickly, though.
Yeah.
That thing cannot work out a lot. Boy, it worked out last night.
Derby?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes?
Hell yes.
Yes?
Huge
okay.
yes. A massive yes.
And what was the last thing I said? No matter what happens, let's have fun with this.
Yes.
I can honestly tell you, as I was seeing it, there was not 1 ounce of me that cared or was upset that Harper's dad was rushing a little bit. I think that's a stupid rule anyway. Throw as many as you want. Get as many swings in. It's a home run. This is about fun. That was fun for people.
Right. Plus, you said if a Cub didn't win, it was rigged. You did say that.
I did say it. No, I didn't say that. How dare you?
No, you didn't say
that. I didn't say that.
Your Cub showed up, though, especially Schwarber.
Yeah, he showed up.
Oh, my God.
And if that's in Wrigley, maybe it goes the other way with the quick pitching. But that's the last thing that Twitter or anyone needs to be worried about. And don't overblow it, too. I don't want to hear, oh, Bryce Harper got back into the $300 million conversation. No, it was batting practice. It was cool.
Right. It was
really
very
cool.
Very, very cool. We'll definitely get to some of that because that was good, and the All-Star game is tonight. But I think we do need to start with Big 12 Media Days.
Yes.
There are two shades of orange that are in my mind today, and I think we obviously need to start with Texas. What jumped out to you? You're a Longhorn fan. You want this team to do as well as possible. Anything jump out from Tom Herman?
A lot of different stuff. I like some of the interviews that we heard on this radio station, including the one-on-one with Craig that I just heard on Rod's show, mm-hmm. Trey and BK. We've kind of had that beat that started the show off on the station all day. And there's been a lot of good guests, and we're going to try and get recap a lot of that because it is kind of recap time there now.
I think Del Conte stopped by and talked with Trey and Brad today.
He did. I listened to that.
How about that?
I haven't heard that guy speak once without being impressed.
Yeah.
But what's bigger for me as an AD or really anyone at that level, most of y'all should have your words straight. Not all do, but actions. Mm-hmm. And the actions have been there for me.
Yeah, no, he seems to be pretty aligned, to use a Tom Herman phrase. So to me, the story of the day would be Tom Herman clearly stated, you can choose to believe him or not, but he clearly stated the decision to call offensive plays has not been made yet.
Yes.
I think that's a big deal.
Yeah.
If he's telling the truth, like either way, if he's not willing to tell us, that's still kind of a big deal. And if he really hasn't made up the decision, then, you know, if I'm a Texas fan, that's just, you got to note that as something to follow if your head coach won't tell you who's calling plays at media days.
Well, what changes from now until the first game in about a month?
A little more. They all get together and practice.
Okay, but I mean, how do you make that decision?
Well, I mean, he talked about today this retreat that the coaches go on. Maybe the decision is made there.
Could be.
Maybe off of film, off of study, off of looking at things. Do they need? I mean, you got to do it before fall practice starts, right? I would assume.
I would think.
Before you get into a scrimmage situation, you need whoever it is, Sam or Shane.
Yes.
You need to have that voice.
Yeah.
What's the process of getting the play to him, you know, in a reasonable amount of time? So I think that's the... that's the story. He wasn't really pressed on the quarterbacks either way. He's just saying, I like all four.
He said camp will decide. They will decide with their performance. And he's happy. He said, I'm thrilled. I have all four. I mean, I've got four guys now that can really do something at that level. So it shows he's at least happy with what he's seen so far from the two freshmen.
And he talked about, with the two main guys, he talked about things he wanted to see, things they told him to work on in the offseason. He feels like both of them have, and work on in the spring and all that. Sam changing his release a little bit, tightening that up. I think you could see that right away. First time he threw a ball at the spring game, I went, oh, that's different.
Yeah, he has to get more accurate.
Something's different. So they wanted him to tighten that up a little bit. And then obviously it's game time decisions, which it's kind of a tough thing to practice, but you need to... obviously, he needs to make better decisions late in games. The Tech interception and the Oklahoma State interception are inexcusable. And then with Shane, it's the take charge mentality. This, to me, is a fascinating part of football. Can you teach a quarterback to be a vocal leader? He's telling him, the analogy is a good one, don't be third string violin, be the conductor. How easy is that for a guy to do if it's not in his nature?
I think it's hard.
I would assume it's difficult to do. And that's one thing I want to talk to him about tomorrow when we get a chance to have a one-on-one in his experience with quarterbacks. It's an offensive-minded
and not all great players coach have done that. And I know quarterback can be different, but not all shortstops are the guy that talk the most, or even catchers. But a lot of times the catchers are. So you do get that. A lot of quarterbacks are naturally just going to be that alpha and going to be vocal.
Yeah, are you talking?
I'm not saying he's not an alpha. I mean, I like Shane a lot, but I also don't get on him for not, that's just not who he is.
Like, is there a moment when, because it's got to be, you got to have him talking because he needs to talk, not because you want him to talk. So when's that moment? And I wonder if maybe he's experienced it in his coaching career. Oh, no, you can teach that. You can. If it's there somewhere, you just need to bring it out a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's what he's trying to do with Shane Buechele. Those were really his only major comments on the quarterbacks today. And and I think in the play calling, he used the word collaborative again, that he's involved in a whole lot of the play calling in terms of – and he said something Mack Brown used to say. There's no play that's called that I couldn't veto. Okay, that's different, though. That's different than did you call the play, right?
Yeah.
It's different than did you actually say it? So I think those deals are there. Now, Mike Gundy actually told us who his quarterback is.
He was the only one, right?
So, well, other than...
Iowa State.
Other than, I guess, well, Iowa State knows...
TCU was... But they still said that...
That's right.
That could change, but right now, it's Robinson.
And Bill Snyder is saying, these are my two guys. I don't know exactly who's starting, but these are my guys.
Right. And I get the sense both will play if you bring both up.
Oh, I would think so. Yeah, I would think so. By the way, a weird Phil Steele stat I hadn't thrown out yet, but I think this is right. For Iowa State, the last time they had one guy go the whole season was like 08, and it was Arnott. That's a long time. We're talking 10 years now.
Seem like that, though. Every year they have a banged up quarterback.
Right. That's big. If Kyle Kemp can survive the season by himself, that'd be a milestone for them. So Mr. Gundy says it's Taylor Cornelius. He is a senior, 6'6", 232. And I did a little research, Kevin.
Now, that was the guy we mentioned. Brad mentioned someone else yesterday.
He mentioned the transfer from Hawaii.
Yeah, right. So is he going to be in the mix? And then also Spencer Sanders?
He said both those guys will be there once we get to practice. Let's see how they respond.
Is that Steve's brother from Cali?
I don't know. I don't know that. It may be. Not sure. Drew Brown, spells it D-R-U.
I saw that.
Is the transfer from Hawaii. I like that. But Taylor Cornelius, here's what he's doing. He's playing this is the guy that's got experience card. He knows our system. We've seen this happen before, and he may not last the year. But, heck, we've seen Saban do this, where that's the guy that I feel like knows us the best. And then we'll see how it works. And if you haven't looked at Oklahoma State's schedule, don't feel bad, because it's not much at the top. They get a chance to ease in.
Right, that's a lot of it.
Missouri State, South Alabama.
I think it's easier to make that change during the season when all the bullets are flying and there's complete chaos and there's just stuff everywhere than when people are this thirsty right now.
Yeah, and he may make it in the Boise game.
He could.
That's the game that I'm looking for.
It could happen in camp.
September 15th could be in camp too. September 15th is Boise State. If they get by that one and they beat Tech, they have a really good chance to go at least 6-1, if not 7-0, before they play Texas in that big game October 27th. So Taylor Cornelius, he's 6'6", as I mentioned. He's from Bushland, Texas. I had to look
it
up.
There's a Bushland?
Bushland,
where is that?
Texas. It is in the Amarillo area.
Okay.
But how about this for a stupid fact? Here's your crap bag moment.
Who's from Bushland?
Early in the show. Not even who's from. Bushland, Texas is exactly halfway between Los Angeles and Chicago. It's 1,062 miles from both.
What?
Now, what idiot figured that out? I don't know. But it is exactly in the middle of those two towns.
Okay.
And as of 2000, they had 300 people? No, I'm sorry, 130 people.
130 people total?
In the town. Dude is from a small Northwest Texas town, if you want to call it. He's up there in the Panhandle area. Up there in the Amarillo area.
Tyrone Swoops is like, man, that's nothing. My deal is nothing.
Exactly.
Call me for 1A.
So I think those are the two big things. Anything else that jumped out for me today from the teams that were represented?
Herman talked a lot. He does seem confident and sounds like, I mean, they look a lot better. The other thing, I mean, there are a lot of things that took away. We'll definitely get to it. But
right.
One of the other things was, let's see, not only some of the verts and strength stuff, which he gave last year.
Now, did you like that as a Texas fan? Some people are seeing that as filibuster and you just didn't want to take questions.
I didn't take my pants off.
No, but I mean, just as a fan, if you had a choice between, okay, he's got this information, or, look, coach, you're here to answer questions.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Well, I was too, because that's what's on his mind right now.
Yeah, I know I could tell that. Some media members are probably thinking, though, this is filibustering, but he had a lot to say. Maybe he wanted to answer some stuff before it was even asked.
True. And he learned filibustering from one of the best. And that's what Mac did. Mac did a ton of that.
Yeah. Let's not go that route.
Right. But he definitely had the longest opening statement. Everybody does it differently. Bill Snyder literally sat down and took questions. Kingsbury sat down and took questions. Tom Herman wanted to do it a little differently and lay a couple things out there. So that's what he did. The other thing that jumped out to me is there's a style issue maybe going on that we can watch for at West Virginia. They play Tennessee early in the season. Holgorsen is stating that they're going to tight ends now. He's never had a tight ends coach at West Virginia.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
You heard that too, right?
I did. I heard it, and it didn't completely shock me, but I thought at some point they would have had one.
It's his eighth year.
But where did he come from? I mean, he has had to move more towards this coming from where he came from.
Right. He's
Leach.
Right. He's from the Leach tree.
Yeah.
And Mike Leach still probably hasn't had a tight ends coach.
He probably doesn't. He's never met one. He probably doesn't know one.
He wouldn't know Jay Novacek.
Like if he had to hire one, he'd be like, I don't know anyone.
I bet he didn't know who Mike Ditka is. No, he probably does. He probably knows who Mike Ditka is. But Yeah, that is that was interesting to me.
Sir, this is Keith Jackson. He's kind of big.
He said, right, it's kind of a big deal. So I'm seeing one guy on here listed as a halfback, but he wears 84, kind of a tight end number, 6'4", 240, and he is a transferred in from Miami. So what he said today was...
Remember, we talked about him.
Yeah, we
that's the tight end.
We talked to him about the other day about the guy that's a little taller, and he is going to be not their typical kind of halfback situation, fullback, halfback guy. This is a true tight end. I can't wait to see what Dana Holgorsen...
It'll be H-back stuff, right?
I don't know. What he and Jake Spavital, still the OC, what are they going to do with a guy that big? Are they going to go... You know, what kind of tight end stuff are we looking at? I think it's just another example of how basic, you know, this is a sport, both levels, that it's an extremely important position. We talk about it all the time. It's why Andrew Beck's there today, even though he didn't play last year. Tom Herman knows it's a big deal. So I want to see how Dana Holgorsen fits that in. So keep your eyes peeled for, what's the kid's name? Giovanni Haskins, the sophomore, 6'4", 240, and how West Virginia might use him.
Another thing that stood out to me watching some Fox Sports coverage was when they were talking to Gundy, and I think he may have mentioned it during his a question during the press conference, but Jim Knowles, their new defensive coordinator,
yep,
who comes in and spending the last 8 years at Duke, I thought with his personnel, he did a pretty good job at Duke, runs a 4.25.
The numbers I saw from Duke were more than I thought. They're better than I thought they would be.
No, he's been – yeah, they've been better, but a lot of that has been, I think he's been able to play with his personnel. And he may have to do that at a higher level, but not that much higher of a level at Oklahoma State, where you're going to have some holes defensively, but you're going to have more talented guys, and you probably want to play that 4.25.
Yeah, he's going to love the change in talent.
Yeah, he will.
He should.
That's an upgrade.
Yeah, he better not walk up to Mike Gundy three games in and go, this is about the way it was at Duke.
Right.
Right? He should see better talent.
No, this isn't the Kansas OC that came from TCU.
Right. Oh, he and Beatty must be really close.
You're not Boykin.
You are not Trayvon Boykin. I bet it's been
some of the receivers they had, remember?
Gone through his mind. That's how you know friendship's powerful. Because I heard Beatty say it yesterday, that he and Doug Beauchamp are best friends. And I thought, well, you'd have to be. You'd have to be to go from that talent to that talent and be willing to make that move.
Yeah. I still think there had to be something else there.
Right.
You can be best friends and not make that move.
You're right. There's something with Patterson probably. All right. A lot of stuff to get to today football-wise. Brad Kellner will join us about 3:30. Talk about his thoughts on Big 12 Media Days and what Tom Herman had to say today. Let me tell you about Total Men's Primary Care. Remember, guys, get your yearly wellness check in case you haven't gotten it done yet. Look, we all know football season's coming. This is a dead week right here, right? There's not a lot going on. Maybe it's a great week to get it scheduled. Do it for your wife, do it for your family, do it for your peace of mind. Maybe you've got, you know, one of your kids has been bugging you about getting your wellness check. Well, have them schedule it for you. TotalMens.com is the website. Total Men's Primary Care, making it so easy for us guys to get that well check, to go to the doctor and not have it be such a hassle and have it be so crazy, because they have 10 different places for you to go across town. They've downtown at Congress and 9th. They've got the one at 1431 and Old 183, plus don't forget Burnett Road right there across from the Domain, and a block from Top Golf. TotalMens.com, Total Men's Primary Care, the doctor's office just for men. We'll definitely talk some Big 12 Media Days today. Mike Gundy, a little less of a mullet.
Yeah.
Kind of a
flow bead.
You know what he reminded me of?
Some flow bead action, right?
Yeah, maybe. He reminded me of at least the back of it, not the whole thing. He's got better hair than I ever had. But the back of it reminds me of...
Don't sell yourself short.
Me, when I started playing tennis. So you'd have... when before tennis became a year-round sport in our district, I could grow it out a little bit in the wintertime.
Were you trying to be Agassi? Is that what you were shooting for?
You know what? I think it was kind of a mix between Agassi and like Joe Elliott of Def Leppard.
Okay.
Those were probably my two goals.
I thought Billy Ray maybe in that mix.
How dare you?
I'm just saying.
How dare
just
you?
Just on optics.
I was not ever going to have a wavy mullet like that or that level of talent. So, yeah, it was always right as, but when we got into the spring, I would cut it. You know, the coach would tell me, come on, we got to go this short. And that's what it felt like he did. Somebody told him, come on, you got to go. No, we didn't get yankeed. It wasn't that bad. But it was just, you had to get it off the shoulder.
Okay.
You had to get it off the collar. right? So it's just barely above that.
Off the collar.
But, yeah, all these coaches have shown up the last couple days, man. They're tan. They're ready to roll.
Yeah.
They're all
Matt Rhule, man.
Matt Rhule looking sharp in a suit.
Body surfing.
All the Baylor guys showing up. Yeah, he looked.
Think he swims with a shirt on?
I think that might have been bronzer. I mean, he had some really good tan.
No, I think that was real tan.
No, it was real. It was real.
He likes to talk.
He definitely does. He does. Well.
Which, and he seems like a nice guy. He seems like a guy you'd be fun to sit there and chat with.
He and Beatty remind me of each other.
Okay, I can see that.
When they talk, I don't think, well, this is a total snake oil salesman. I just think, well, he's selling the snake oil in a really tough place to you know, build the business.
I think Beatty was when he was really kicking butt for y'all. But I can see how he was a good recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, yeah. I mean, you can see it.
Right. Yeah. And Rhule, deep down, he understands what he's trying to rebuild. He is trying to rebuild.
When he was talking about scholarships and going over that stuff.
Yeah. Because you know that's all he's had to all he's been thinking about this last year or so, while also thinking, did I make the right move?
Well, I was comparing them to Texas, and he's said, we're just happy to have two quarterbacks now. And Herman, we're happy to have four quarterbacks right now.
Mm-hmm. Four in the room.
Like, as bad as our spot is with roster, it's not there.
That's one thing, taking out the circumstances of the fall, if you are a Baylor football fan, just – it's amazing. It has to be such a contrast to think of, because where their mindset had to be in 13 and 14 and when Briles was there as versus now.
Like, right.
Because now it's gone below.
But like good Baylor fans and good human beings with their two teams of politics, you have to get through some stuff and be real or else your word means nothing, right? So
oh, sure.
You had to get through that and say, no, this is still better. We have our school back, even though I know that what we're trying to get done is win football games, but we can't do that to get it done.
Right, no, and that's what Rhule's trying to come through. And at some point, they're going to have to then start asking the next question of, okay, if all of that is taken care of, now is he good enough?
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, they're coming off a 1-11. I'm guessing they'll be better than that.
Yes, they definitely will.
They'll find two or three, right?
They'll find two or three, and they may do more. And they may, and one of those three, four, two, whatever, could sting someone in a wide-open conference.
The Tennessee transfer kid's interesting to me.
Very much so.
Jalen Hurd, is that the name? I believe mm-hmm. that's right.
And they've continued to recruit speed.
Mm-hmm.
But look, they're going to be – when does Texas get them? They get them late?
Mid-to-late.
October 13th. I mean, by the time Baylor is in Lubbock November 10th, who knows what they have left? And that's part of the roster – scarcity and situation that Rhule was talking about and that Herman's talked about a little bit, but two different worlds there.
That'd be an interesting game, November 10th. They're at Iowa State. That's a game that, in my mind right now, Matt Campbell dominates. That group would dominate Baylor.
Yeah.
But by the time we get there, we'll see. Maybe that's something where Baylor can prove a little. First off, they got to figure out a way to beat Abilene Christian, UTSA, or Duke, because last year they got embarrassed in all three.
They play Tech the last game of the year. That is in Waco.
Yeah. So Big 12 Media Days, if you have any thoughts on that, jump on in. Specs text line 337-3776. If you're a Longhorn fan, were you bothered by the fact that Tom Herman says he doesn't know who's calling offensive plays yet? We'll obviously talk about that. Coming up in the Big 3, we'll grab Brad Kellner. He's on his way back from Frisco. He and Trey had a chance to sit down with Chris Del Conte today. I think they also got a quick little visit with Tom Herman. So we'll ask him for his thoughts on Tom Herman, on Texas today, and anything else that jumps in his mind. It is Tuesday, and we got a lot coming up.
They had the best time. If you've ever been to Big 12 Media Days, that's when you're going to get everyone.
That midday time.
That midday time, those 3 hours, you're going to have people coming in, coming out, ADs, coaches, media, you name it, and they did a great job with it.
We'll talk with Brad coming right up on the Horn. Definitely talking some home run derby today. You got the All-Star game tonight, although it's raining in Washington right now. Let's hope, just like yesterday, hopefully the rain will move out.
Oh, that was a shot. Man, Harper hit some bombs.
Oh, he did. My God. Brian, what do you got here on the musical side?
Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath. We have a Sabbath birthday today. The bass player for Black Sabbath, Geezer Butler, one of my favorite musical names, is 69 years old today. Geezer played with Sabbath. Geezer played with Ozzy in the solo days. I'm not exactly sure what Geezer's job is today, but I think he's probably playing with one of those two things. He's still playing bass
still
for
doing something.
Either Ozzy or Sabbath or maybe both. So happy birthday to Mr. Geezer Butler. Also, if you're into the British side of music, Spencer Davis, 79 years old today.
Nice.
Got the Spencer Davis Group started back in the day with Steve Winwood and got things rolling. So a couple of birthdays there. Let's go to the Vaqueros hotline and talk more Big 12 football. We'll make actually, let's get the Big 3. We said we have a sponsor for Big 3. Let's get that in there if we do.
The Big 3. This segment brought to you by The Yellow Rose. Book your bachelor party at The Yellow Rose, known for the best bachelor party destination in Central Texas. Learn more at yellowrose.com.
Sometimes you don't plan it out and radio just works. Let's get to our guest.
Right. I mean, Vaqueros Hotline, and we're talking to Brad Kellner. It just feels like that all works together. Mr. Kellner, how are you?
It's an honor and a privilege to be sponsored by the Yellow Rose. Gentlemen, I'm doing great.
See? There you go.
You probably made some plays there, right, Brad?
Not the biggest fan of the strip club in general, but I cannot confirm nor deny me making plays at the Yellow Rose at some point in the past.
That's what I thought.
That is fair. All right, Brad, you're a Longhorn fan, like Kevin, like Trey, like so many of our listeners. What did you make of your head coach today and the players that he brought? What did you make of the Texas vibe today?
Yeah, they're still they're finishing up these breakout sessions right now, so there's still some media contingent at all five of the schools that are represented today, and far and away, for as long as they've done this breakout, Texas, the Longhorn contingent has had the most media members surrounding it. People are excited, and you know, Tom Herman did a very Mensa thing at the start of his press conference, if you will. I mean, it's a 20-minute kind of hard out timer on these pressers. And Tom Herman, he was going to get asked a lot of questions. You know, year one wasn't the greatest of successes for him at the University of Texas. So he made sure he talked his opening statement went as long as he possibly could so he could field as few questions as possible. But he did give one answer that I really liked, guys. I mean, he was just asked what's sort of the goal, the mindset of the offseason. And he said they're turning it into a two-step plan. It's develop and finish. He talked about just developing chemistry, developing relationships with other players, with the coaches, as a team, as a unit, and, of course, getting better cohesively, developing there. And also talked about finish. I mean, he said, look, we all know it. We talk about it on all the shows all the time. Texas, three or four plays away from 9, maybe 10 wins a year ago. And in crucial situations all throughout the course of the year, Texas folded in big spots. So they are putting an emphasis in practice and all offseason long of finishing, having that mindset of, hey, it's a one-possession game in the fourth quarter. Here's what we need to do. And I really like that answer from Coach Herman, and I think that's a good mindset to have.
Did hear him asked about the play calling, and he said that's still up in the air. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that. You know, the question was about the play calling, whether or not he would take over, and also about the leash, right? If Tim Beck is, in fact, calling plays, or Herb Hand, or whoever, if by X game in the season, if it's not working out, would he at some point take over? And I think that the answer there would flat out be a no. If I recall, I mean, every time Tim Herman was asked that, at least at the beginning of last year, he kind of came out and said, no, I'm not doing that. It's too difficult to be a head coach and deal with everything that goes into being a head coach and also call plays on the side. Well, this year he didn't say that. He just said, you know, it's a good thing you don't have to make those decisions in July. So he's not completely closing the door on a potential calling play responsibility at some point this season if things don't work out. I was a little bit surprised to hear that, but you know, I think in part that's music to a lot of fans' ears back in Austin.
Talking with Brad Kellner here on The Horn. Brad, we had three coaches I think a lot of fans, I'm not saying necessarily like, but they usually pay attention to when they're in a press conference situation. You had Holgorsen in West Virginia. You had Bill Snyder, the legend from K-State. And, of course, Mike Gundy, other than Texas. Of those three schools, anything jump out to you in their stuff?
Bill Snyder's still old. Mike Gundy still has a great bullet. He's looking great.
Uh-huh.
And Dana Holgorsen's hair still sucks. To be honest, I got to talk to players on each of those teams, not specifically the coaches, because most of the media is around the coaches right now. But I got to talk to a couple of members of all three of those teams, and they're all confident. Three kind of trendy picks in the Big 12 this year, at least all expected to finish in the top five or six. You can never count Kansas State out with Bill Snyder. They'll come up and surprise you every few years. Of course, Oklahoma State. You know, I asked Darian Daniels, one of their defensive linemen. I said, look, I'll be honest with you guys. I don't know if you'll admit it, but last year was supposed to be your year. Senior season for Mason Rudolph, for James Washington, and it was a little bit of a disappointing campaign. You know, what has to happen for you guys to win the Big 12 in 2018? And he sounded confident. Despite the questions that all three of these schools have, with West Virginia on the defensive side, K-State not necessarily that elite talent that they've had in some years, and Oklahoma State having to replace a lot, every player is coming out here saying the right things, and they all feel pretty good about their team's chances in 2018.
BK, we talked about the Cowboys yesterday with you. Drew Brown, you mentioned, and I'm glad you did because I kind of forgot about him. The grad transfer from Hawaii, then Spencer Sanders, a true freshman. But Gundy was one of the few Big 12 coaches who came out and gave a quarterback. He said they're going to start with Taylor Cornelius. How long do you think that experiment will last? Is that up in the air as well?
Yeah, you know, Cornelius is the guy with experience at Oklahoma State. And I was talking to Justin Phillips, one of their defensive players, and he said Cornelius is the dude who's been there the longest. He's got the best feel of the offense. I like that Gundy came out and said that, man. I think it is Cornelius's job to lose. Now, do I think he's the most talented quarterback Oklahoma State has? Absolutely not. I think Spencer Sanders, when he gets his sea legs under him and when he gets accustomed to the college game, I think that dude is the future of the quarterback position at OSU. But we'll see. I mean, Drew Brown is a grad transfer. He came from Hawaii. It's the same thing with Trey Watson at Texas, right? I mean, you don't grad transfer somewhere unless you feel like you have a great opportunity to play and to play early. So we'll see. I mean, Oklahoma State's got some tough games early on. If Taylor Cornelius doesn't get the job done, then one of those two, Drew Brown or Spencer Sanders, will likely be the guy to replace him and get a crack at the job.
I could see all three this year.
Yeah.
Unless the other two do well, then you can redshirt Spencer Sanders. But I'm with BK there. I think that's going to be fluid.
Mm-hmm. And we just mentioned they have a schedule that allows it to be fluid.
It does. That was a good point.
There's nothing crazy at the beginning of that schedule unless you consider Boise crazy. Talking about Brad Kellner here. Brad, you mentioned Watson and the running back situation. Got talked about the last question for Herman in the big session was about running the ball and stopping the run. Obviously, a lot of things revolve around this offensive line. Talk to me about Patrick Vahe, kind of the vibe he gave you today, because that's one of the guys that really needs to step up and play well in his final year.
No, 100%. And I really like what Patrick Vahe had to say. You know, Trey and I had the opportunity to talk to Patrick and to Chris Nelson on the midday show today. Mm. Shameless plug right there.
Nice.
But, Patrick gives some good answers, man. I mean, he knows that he's been talked about a lot, and he knows that his play hasn't been as good as it needs to be successful. You know, a lot of guys aren't willing to talk about their individual accolades or even their individual downfalls, but Patrick Vahe was kind of open, and he said, I need to get a lot better. I know there's areas to my game that I have to improve, and I'm working tirelessly to make that happen. He knows the offensive line has been a scrutinized unit over the past couple of years, and that they've got to be much better in 2018 for this team to succeed. And I asked the same thing to Andrew Beck, who is, you know, the de facto sixth offensive lineman playing that role as tight end and kind of the more of the blocking tight end on the Texas roster. And he said the same thing. He said it sucked to not be able to help out with the O-line last year while he was hurt. But he says you can't win games unless you get it done in the trenches. And that's obviously been a problem at Texas for a few years now.
BK, you guys had the prime slot for this thing and did a great job of taking advantage of it. Some great interviews, including Chris Del Conte, the athletic director. What was your takeaway from that?
Well, thank you. That's why we're an award-winning program.
No, you're not. You guys make that up.
It was an award. It was legit.
The people don't realize that Taco Bell gives awards to sports radio shows, so we should point that out.
Oh, God.
It was The Onion. You know, The Onion is a legit publication.
I agree with that.
That is true. Yeah.
No, CDC was great. It was our first time getting to converse with him, and you know, he was looking sharp, man. I don't think that dude will ever wear the same suit and tie combination over and over again. He's got a big closet of stuff. Walked in with the cream suit and the burnt orange today, looking sharp.
You like him, man. You like him physically.
I don't know about physically, man. He's easy. But he's given just about every right answer. Yep. Since taking over as the athletic director at the University of Texas. You know, he's bought into this football program. He thinks this is going to be a successful year. I asked him about the Kansas City, This Is Texas tour that he went on over the summer. Said the mood is good. The vibes are high for this Texas football team. People are confident and optimistic about this program. And most importantly, I am a reader of the Twitters, right? I take a lot out of what I see on social media. Mississippi State has announced that they are going to lower their concession stand prices, similar to what the Atlanta Falcons did in the NFL last year, right? Uh-huh. That kind of took the world by storm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chris Del Conte a couple days ago, I should say, had a tweet with like a winky face when somebody asked him about the University of Texas doing the same thing. So I asked CDC today, and I was like, "Yo, I have to bring that up. What changes are being made? How are things going with Bevo Boulevard and the game day experience?" He said, "Stay tuned in regards to the concessions. There might be an announcement coming up this week or next week. So potential good news for you DKR goers every Saturday in the fall. The concessions might be a little bit lower in price."
Look at that. BK doesn't read a lot, but when he does read, you get stuff like that.
Hey, let me tell you what.
180 characters or less. That's all I can on the radio brand to handle.
If you can go to a game, and if you're a Longhorn fan, and you can get a you can get the football to be better, and maybe your nachos cost less?
That'll help the fan experience.
It's a win-win. That's a huge win-win. All right, Brad, let's put you on the spot in a weird way before we let you go. Anything you saw or heard today would change your prediction for Texas? You still at the same spot? Did anything make you feel really good or really bad from media days?
Nah, still in the same spot. You know, I'm the ultimate wait-and-see guy. I got to see it to believe it. My brain has been destroyed by the last 8 years of Texas football, so I cannot think positively about this team. But look, every answer I've heard, I mean, they're saying the right things. They seem like a confident group. They're happy to be here. Everyone's happy to be representing the University of Texas on this stage. Tom Herman seems a little bit more relaxed in year two. He's more accustomed to this experience. So the vibes are good with Texas football, but not for me personally. I still think this is a team that finishes around fourth in the conference of 2018.
Who had the hottest cheerleaders up there?
You know, this is a shock. I mean, if you had Bovada odds before this event, I would say West Virginia would be ninth or tenth in terms of talented cheerleaders. But very impressed by the Mountaineer selection over the past couple of days. I feel like I'm sounding like Brent Musburger right now.
Only difference is like Gary Danielson didn't set him up like that like I did. So you can pin that one on me. But did Texas rank top five? We sent some good reps up there.
I got to be careful here.
Yeah, let's not answer that.
Some daughters listening.
Let's not answer that.
No, bottom half of the conference. Disappointed this year.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm calling out our cheer coach, whoever he or she may be. I'm calling them out.
Brad Kelder. Willing
you get the tweets. You can blame that one on me.
Willing to call out the cheerleading coach. That's fantastic. Brad, safe travels home, man. You guys did a great job. Look forward to seeing you later in the week.
Much love, fellas. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, BK.
Brad Kelner will be heading back this way after a couple good days there with Trey in the midday, and you talked about it, 10-1 is a prime time for that deal, and they took advantage of it. A lot of good interviews today. Go back and check out the podcast at hornfm.com and go find the midday podcast.
And let's make sure we state this now that he's off. Brad has awful taste in women. He's admitted that on the air.
I don't know that
so
for sure.
So if that is a family member or girlfriend, you go, well, good. Oh, I didn't want a thumbs up from him.
Fair. We'll make sure we get both sides of that out.
Have you ever had someone not give you a compliment and you're kind of happy because that's what you think of them?
Oh, yeah, I guess a little bit.
I don't want you to think I'm that smart.
I know you, and I don't
talk to you.
I don't need that from you. All right, thanks to Brad for his time. Coming up at 4:05 or so, Tyler Maughan from MILB.com to talk home run derby last night, all-star game tonight, and the second half of baseball coming right up. Rod Babers will join us next hour talking Big 12 Media Days. Up next, we'll get into a little bit of the crap bag. I'll give you my thoughts on pro football and the Hall of Fame, ignoring T.O. coming up in August. We'll get into that on the Horn. Nice little funky organ vibe. I like that. Now this sounds like it could be Spencer Davis. Who is it?
It's Galactic.
Galactic. You played that a couple times.
I have. You're going to really like Stanton Moore, the drummer.
Okay. Galactic. I like it. Remember, you got the Open Championship coming up. Some people call it the British Open. They're at Carnoustie. Jordan Spieth trying to defend his title. You have until 1:55 in the morning on July 19th. So that's Thursday morning. Of course, they start everything really super early with the British. You know that. Overall tournament winner in our Horn Open Fantasy Golf Challenge is walking away with a $100 gift card to the League Kitchen and Tavern. Go to hornfm.com for registration details. Don't forget to check your standings throughout the tournament. And I saw an email today. Let's give a shout out to these Longhorns. There are five of them that are going to be playing in the British Open. Obviously, Jordan Spieth is playing in the British Open. But other Longhorns, Brandon Stone is going to be involved in this, teeing off about 1:30 on Thursday morning. Jonathan Vegas is going to play. Bo Hostler, you'll remember that name from a few years ago, and Dylan Fratelli will all be a part of the British Open at the beginning. We'll hope all five of those guys do very well.
Bo Hostler, I saw him the same age I saw LeBron.
Yeah.
Wasn't he 10?
He was getting some young attention, and he was striping it right down the middle back then.
Yeah, 17.
He got that love. He was 17 when he went to the
junior in high school, I believe.
U.S. Open, mm-hmm. Right? Can you imagine, my God, being a junior in high school? You're hanging out at the U.S. Open.
I feel like the golf program's where it should have been for a long time. There was a little bit of a dip there where, obviously, after the, 72 team? 72, 73?
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yep.
And kind then you had a Leonard. You had some guys in there for sure. But now it feels like, I mean, they're not all Jordan Spieth, but there's guys that are really, really getting close.
They're players. There's no doubt. We'll see how that tournament shapes up. That starts on Thursday. Maybe a good thing to throw in. Not a maybe. This is why they put it in this week, because they know the sports calendar dies down a little bit, too. All right. Let's get you a little crap bag here on a Tuesday, shall we?
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
All right. A couple of, political type things in sports, but not really political, just kind of, sports stuff. But the TO thing, I had not seen it, I guess, until a couple days ago, that the Pro Football Hall of Fame has made their choice in response to TO not coming and not going to be there. They're now saying they're not going to specifically talk about him.
So we're going child on child here.
Right. They're not going to specifically mention TO. And I'm seeing, I try to do this occasionally. I know it's a weird thing, but I try to see both sides on these type of things. On their side of it, I can sort of understand if their thinking is, look, these other dudes showed up with family members. It takes long enough anyway. We're out in the sun in these jackets. Let's make it as short as possible.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the theory, then I guess. But he is a part of the class. As long as he's displayed as part of the class,
you got to mention him.
I would think there needs to be some, maybe at the very, very beginning. I don't think you don't need a video package or anything like that, but some kind of recognition of Terrell Owens. He still gets the jacket no matter what, and he gets the bust.
He does, but be bigger here. Make him regret it.
Right, like unveil the bust, throw up a video real quick.
Have someone come up. Like, unfortunately, Tio's not here, but he's part of the class now, and obviously one hell of a player.
Yeah, roll up a video, whatever NFL
films.
Let's
give him an applause. Boom. Yeah. Now let's move to people who are here.
Yeah, to me that. I think that would be a better play here. I get that there's some logistical reasons, and it's weird. By the way, he's giving his speech at Tennessee Chattanooga, his alma mater, if you didn't know that, old school.
I did.
Ultimately, this is him, from what I'm hearing, it is him being a little small on this thing. He thought he needed to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
That's not surprising.
And when he wasn't, he flipped a little bit. So that's kind of what's going on with T.O.
As a Niner fan, you as a Cowboys fan, is that surprising?
No, okay. Not at all. Oh, if there's one...
Almost expected?
Right. If there's one person T.O. is way into, it's the person that lives in his mirror.
Big fan.
Loves that guy. But he also has, we talked about it too. There's also family issues. There's complexities in his life. Multiple kids, multiple women, not paying child support. There's a lot of uncomfortable things he might not want to put on display as well. So, in a way, I think they ought to. I do think they need to recognize him somehow. I hope they do it a little bit, but it looks like they will not do that. The other thing I wanted to mention here, we talked about Trey and Brad interviewing Chris Del Conte. Another story I hadn't heard about. I'm almost glad that it's July 17th and I hadn't heard about it. Was this little Jordan Humphrey tweet? And Bruce Feldman sent out a tweet today, and it said, I asked Texas AD Chris Del Conte his reaction to this, and this is the tweet. So without going through every bit of it, little Jordan Humphrey on July 10th put out a tweet with a little American flag on it, and it was called like a little message to America or something like that. And it was some of his thoughts on being African-American in this country in the climate that we're in right now with this presidency and some of his thoughts on all of that. And Crystal,
you didn't see it at the time?
I didn't see it at the time when it first happened.
Yeah, if you listen to the show, you're probably not going to be surprised. I had no problem with it.
Chris Del Conte's reaction to it is specifically interesting to me today. Feldman asks, and Del Conte says, quote, I loved what he wrote. I'm calling him into my office tomorrow, and I'm going to give him a big hug, and we're going to have a long conversation about it. It's awesome. This is a kid who you have to appreciate the shoes he's walking in. End quote.
That's pretty much how I felt. I think he articulated it a lot better than I did in my head, but yeah.
Wow, CDC. I mean, that's... And then that may be something that maybe there's certain fans that would hear that and not like it. I loved that comment. I love the support of that because I'm all about the support of your right to express things. Obviously, coaches and players, they've got to figure out in a social media world how much gets out there, how much do you put out there. There's a discussion to have there, but I was impressed with the UTAD to have that kind of reaction.
Yeah, I didn't even look at it all the way through. I just saw kind of what he was talking about, responding to, and I thought, okay, well, I mean, everyone should be able to have their opinion.
Right. Yeah. The feelings are valid. They're not my feelings. They're his feelings.
Right.
And
yes.
I got to let him have them. And he definitely has them. And he's not the only person I've ever heard express that type of feeling. That's an
it's
athlete.
Not the first time I've heard that either.
Right. So, I mean, it's an interesting discussion. And I really think it is important that a guy like Chris Del Conte would react that way.
And Del Conte also didn't throw in there, I agree with every single thing he said.
Correct. He didn't, right?
Which shows some maturity, which is just refreshing right now.
He said, I loved what he wrote. He didn't say, I agree with everything he wrote, but he said, I loved what he wrote and calling him into the office and all that. And I'm sure if he means what he said and he does give that hug tomorrow, I would assume that could mean a lot to little Jordan. So I thought that was an interesting story the way it played out. So good on CDC there.
Well, we've gotten on college campuses for limiting free speech and free thought, whether you agree with it or not, for a long time. A lot of it's with comedians.
Right, yeah.
But this is different. This is, I mean, students should be able to speak their mind, right? And it also should create dialogue as well.
Mm-hmm. And because college sometimes is where that happens.
And that's where it should happen.
That's where it happens a lot.
It should happen other places too, yeah. but it should really, that should be a main priority there.
Yep. All right, we got a baseball conversation coming up with Tyler Maughan of MILB.com. But before that, let me tell you about Lightstream. And if you are thinking about saving money this summer, who's not, right? Why not start by paying less interest on your credit card balances? Refinance with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. It's an easy way to save hundreds to thousands of dollars and lower your interest rate. Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.89% APR with auto pay. That is much lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 18% APR right now. You can get your funds as soon as the day you apply. They believe people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees, so that's what they get you. Say goodbye to high-interest credit cards this summer. Start saving with Lightstream. My listeners can save even more right now with an additional interest rate discount on top of their already low rates. The only way to get that discount is go to lightstream.com/Chad. That's lightstream.com/Chad, lightstream.com/Chad.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com for more information.
Not sure how the Home Run Derby could have been any more awesome last night. We'll talk about that all-star game in the second half of baseball, especially for you Astros fans. Coming up with Tyler Maughan of MILB.com. This is The Horn.